City Current, produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or listen on KDAC 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Welcome to another Mandan edition of City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle, along with City Administrator Jim Neubauer. We're here in the studios at Dakota Media Access on Wednesday, January 17th.
Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I am doing well. Looks like the temperature's rising, so we're all feeling a little relieved today.
Pretty sad at 6 in the morning, and you look at your phone and go, wow, it's 6 degrees above zero. It's a heat wave today. Yay. So kind of nice.
Yeah. You had a commission meeting last night?
Yep. Started a little early at 5 o'clock because the school board came in after us at 7. So occasionally, if folks are looking to see us live or they want to come down in person, check the schedule because we do share the room with the school board, and when they have a normally, if it's a holiday on Monday, we'll go first at 5 and the school board will come in at 7. And so we arrange our schedules accordingly.
It's good to mention. I'm glad you mentioned that because obviously that's part of our schedule as well.
Yep.
And I think there are two or three times during the year that that does pop up.
I think the next one is President's Day, maybe on February 20th or something like that. So
relatively
every once in a while we adjust.
Yeah. There was an item last night, right at the beginning of the agenda, was for bids.
Correct.
And Jeff Wright, your public works director, came forward with a project that we've seen at the commission meeting a number of times, back with a rebid on opening. You've opened some bids. A motion was made to move forward on the new public works building.
Right. This has been a process a couple of years in the making. When we first found out what Mandan was going to be a hub city and we received some hub city money, commission met several times to kind of prioritize, here's what our needs are and here's what the commission has directed us to focus our efforts. Public works billing has, risen to the top of that list on all of our occasions. And, one is that, there are some current needs that we need to address with the growth of Mandan and things like that in the last, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a significant amount of that. And how do we, in public works, while we've added some people, added some equipment, The
building has not changed.
The big blue building is built in, I think, the 70s, has not changed one bit.
So it's crowded and outdated, and it's time for a change.
Right, and the main part of that is, we've got, I think, four people in our administrative office in one room, and we've run out of room for that, and they need a little better working, not a little better, but a lot better working conditions. And also with the equipment, we're investing a lot of money in equipment, and it's tough to see that equipment sitting outside.
Yeah.
And that's why, the commission prioritizes as, pretty much their top priority from the get-go and said, let's take care of our current needs and see how we can best do that.
I think we have some pictures, some diagrams of the layout. Apologies
right.
to our radio listeners, but we'll try and explain what we're looking at.
Yep. Some of the main parts of this project are, if some of you are familiar, our public works facility is down by the Memorial baseball field and softball field. We have one storage building that houses our street department and administrative office area, and one building that originally when it was built housed a fire truck, and the other half was used for utility maintenance, folks that do your water line, sewer line fixing and repairs and installations. What we'll be doing now is we're adding one large cold storage facility in kind of the middle of the yard. We have a need because all of our salt sand that we use on the streets this time of year, in accordance with stormwater management practices, needs to be under a cover. So we have a salt sand storage facility, which is kind of a big tent, in other words, to store the salt sand and keep the water enclosed and keep it from running off into our storm sewer system. We're also taking the utility office and where our, again, Public Works Utility Division hangs out, and we're turning that into a wash bay, we're doing an addition onto that facility to the south for administrative offices, and a mechanics bay. Right now, one of the original proposals was to keep the mechanics in a separate building. We think when we kind of redesigned in October of 2016, said we need to have all of our people in one building. We don't want a mechanic in one building. Something happens and no one's there. So that, therefore, we think this is a much better design. We will also have our street department and our utility maintenance department in one building. having those people, you know, in today's world, it's the accidental run-ins or communications that occur that we find are very beneficial, so mm-hmm. that street department and utility maintenance will be able to see each other, talk to each other on a day-to-day basis and on a regular basis, which we think is going to really help improve the communications between
it's
people.
Typically more efficient to operate that way.
Yep.
And I think the other beauty of the project is that the funds are in place. The funds have been identified. The hub funds are in place. Will this pretty much use up most of the funds that are sitting in that hub?
Right. Hub City account? Funds, I think we have about $3.2 million sitting cash in there today. Mm-hmm. This project is estimated to cost $3,013,000. So it really utilizes the remainder of that Hub City money. The commission, like I said, is pretty clear that that's the money that we have, and make sure we're paying attention to the project and no overruns or anything like that. So,
well, this project's been on your list for quite a long time,
right.
And it's been well thought out because it's been back. This is a rebid, actually.
It is a rebid. We put bids out in the spring of 2017. Weren't real pleased with the number of bidders that bid on the project, mm-hmm. and thought, well, maybe if we had more bidders, it'll be more competitive. And so we bid the project out in November of this year. Bids came in December, and prices didn't change a whole lot, but we had more bidders. So we think we're getting a pretty good product.
And this can move forward pretty quickly.
Move forward. We would hope to be complete by December of, the end of the year of 2018.
Okay. They can move in at Christmas time.
You'll see some projects down in that side of town, and we think it's all for the better.
Another item on the agenda last night was a change to the bid opening, a deadline change mm-hmm. for bid opening for street improvement projects that are going to happen within any given year. That typically has been a bit of a date that's kind of moved around a little bit.
Yep. We ran into, I think, some issues 3, 4, or 5 years ago where if a developer in a new development comes in and says, we want to have streets and put in this development, and they'll maybe come in the end of July or August mm-hmm. for us to put those projects out for public bid. We bid them out. We get the bids in the end of August, early September, and then the expectation is, boy, those streets are going to be done by the end of October.
Mm.
Kind of an unrealistic expectation. Really, in October of a certain year, we had a whole bunch of rain that pushed a bunch of projects back into the following year. And so that caused us to look at how we do things and how the time frames really fit in. And so if a developer wants to have a project special assessed, now we set a date certain in June and July and say, here's the date. If you want your project to move forward via the special assessment method, then you need to have it into us by a date certain. Otherwise, your developer's always free to install the streets on their own nickel.
I'm sure you'll let them do that, yes.
Absolutely. And obviously they have to meet city specs and things like that, but if they want to do that, they can certainly do that. But like I said, we had an issue with projects being completed
just too tight of a time frame.
Correct.
So it makes a lot more sense.
Puts everybody on notice up front and says, if you want a new development project, here's the date you have to have your information in, and then we'll consider that.
So another project that Justin, your city engineer, Justin Froseth, brought forward last night and walked through, was probably the bulk of the meeting, was he walked through a number of very major, most of them very major road projects that are in the future for Mandan.
Yep.
And they fell within three different categories of programs and funding that mm-hmm. it's available. Some of them federal funds, some of them just North Dakota funds, state highway funds and whatnot. So it was a lengthy explanation, but I think he did a nice job walking through all those projects.
And streets are always interesting because there are so many different funding sources when you're talking about your major arterial streets. There's an urban roads program, there's an urban regional program, and now there's kind of a downtown grant program. Mm-hmm. So there's three different, you sometimes hear state money is going into different buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the oil extraction tax goes into this bucket, which is a legacy fund. And for us, there are three kind of different funding sources for these major projects, and all relate to federal money that's coming in through the federal highway bill.
Mm-hmm.
There's North Dakota state money that goes in, and there's a local cost share.
And then just a month or two ago, I know we were talking about a Tiger Grant application that the city of Mandan has put forward. It is being submitted, and that would be for a Memorial Highway total reconstruction.
Yep.
Now, it's a long shot, but it's worth putting forward, so we'll wait and see.
Put together, you know, North Dakota Department of Transportation worked on that grant application, needed the city to sign off on it, because, you know, Memorial Highway is right now, it's the state's road. Their maintenance, we have to cost share on some things on the maintenance. They would have liked to see it reconstructed. When Memorial Highway is reconstructed, you know, it's the gift we've talked about, gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
If they put in federal and regional state money to that road to be redone, then we get the gift of maintaining and snow plowing
forever.
And sanding.
It's yours.
From then on, yes.
Well, and the mayor touched on that last night, that the impact of receiving that grant and taking it, there's a big impact on the city of Mandan, and that would be, you know, infrastructure improvements, water mains, sewer.
You've always got above ground infrastructure, which is normally what those highway funds are helped use to offset. But then you've got almost equal or sometimes more costly is the underground, water, sewer, and things like that that you want to address those if you're doing a street reconstruction. You fix the underground first, then you do the above ground, because no one wants to see you come in and tear up a street 2 years after you put it in.
So that'll be a serious discussion should that Tiger Grant move through.
Tiger Grant was applied for, I think, in November, December of this year. We have not heard if that was successful. Mm-hmm. I think the word we got from DOT was that you may have a 3% chance. And the good thing about that was that, you know, as we've looked at funding sources to redo Memorial Highway, it potentially could be a 10-year project, you know, lined up in 3-year increments. Mm. And the commission and, you know, all of us had said that is way too long to be disruptive to business along that stretch of road. The Tiger Grant would provide, you know, all of that money up front. And so you could maybe do it in 1 to 2 years. It's going to be painful.
Wow.
And it's going to be, you know, it's just going to be painful when it's done. But at least it would be maybe a 1 to 2 year shot rather than a 10-year.
Well, like I said, it'll be a serious discussion should that grant come be awarded to Mandan. Yep. The commission will be discussing that seriously. But again, back to the road projects, all the road projects that Justin spoke of last night, fairly complicated. We do have a map up on our screen right now that shows some of those projects. It's not real detailed, but, you know, we're not going to go into every one of these, but there's quite a few. And as Justin spoke about these last night, it came back to the commission, and I believe the mayor was suggesting that there might be a difference of priority that had been explained last night, that maybe we'd be looking at a different priority list.
Justin prepared for the urban grant program. I think he had 5 projects on there, and he listed them in the order of his priority, which sometimes boils down to here's where we're going from a matter of what we think we can get funded, because it's a competitive process. It's not all of a sudden here's a bunch of money and go build your street projects. It's a competitive process. The mayor and the commission had a discussion. That's why we brought it up, you know, January 16th. As this was a discussion item for the commission to look at, they can digest it, and then we'll come back on February 6th.
So it's a fluid list. It's going to move around a little bit.
But
there were a number of projects, everything from Old Red Trail to extending Division Street to downtown improvements. So it's pretty detailed, and obviously Justin worked a lot on this presentation, so it'll be really great to see how it moves forward.
Right, and important to note is that, you know, we're looking at 2022. So really 4 to 5 years down the road, 6 years, sometimes 7 years.
They're going to phase in.
And not all these projects will get funded. But we like to put them on the list so that they get on folks' radar. Mm-hmm. So they understand, even from a development standpoint, okay, what projects are you applying for? So that we know how to plan what we're doing.
Right.
And like I said, the federal funding and state funding comes to your arterial roads. All of your interior, your residential streets and stuff like that are paid for via special assessment or developer-driven costs. So, like I said, these are the major impact roads in Mandan. And we've had, you know, from a standpoint of we have had very good luck. If you look at, you know, a few years ago, we were redid a major portion of Sunset Drive in Mandan. This past year, we did McKinsey intersection coming off the interstate down in the Water Park and Wellness Center area. Prior to that, we did another section of Old Red Trail on the northwest part of Mandan. So we've been making progress, sometimes not as fast as folks would like to see, but with the understanding that not necessarily all the money is available to do projects. You can reconstruct a street whenever you want to. It's just a matter of how are you going to pay for it.
Exactly. Another project that came forward, excuse me, your development director, Ellen Huber, brought forward to the commission last night was a consideration of replatting, asbestos testing for this West Main project, the former Central Market.
Former Central Market grocery store, which was Bill's Super Value before that, and then also the former Thrifty White grocery store, which was a former Bill's Super Value before that.
Which is property now that the city of Mandan owns.
Right. We acquired that this past summer using Mandan Supplemental Environmental Projects Trust money, so not general funds from the city's coffers. We've been then developing plans on what that west end of Main Street should look like. And, on the agenda last night where we've had a couple parties that have been interested in renting out the former Thrifty White building. And so we will have Hito's Auto Parts will be in there for a parts show in March. And also the Morton County Farm Bureau wants to use that building for their ag days.
That's interesting because even without advertising that these buildings are available or that they're sitting there, there's a need. It kind of demonstrates that there's already a need for an event, some kind of facility where these kinds of things could happen in the downtown area.
Yep. We, the Mandan Progress Organization, held Santa's arrival in the, and again, sometime we'll get past calling it the former Thrifty White building, but Santa's arrival was held in there and a very good turnout for kids. People seem to like that venue. I'm not saying it's going to be the venue for now until forever, but we hope that by developing the Central Market building into a potentially an event hall space and half library, that building then becomes more attractive for private development to step in.
So since the purchase of the property last summer, you've been working with a group of people that have also been working with your architect, Icon Architecture.
Mayor Helbling and Commissioner Davis, along with Ellen and myself, have met many times over the past 4 to 5 months, trying to kind of solidify cost estimates and what this property might take to redevelop.
And speaking of cost estimates, another piece that was put together last night was this allowing Doherty and Company to provide some financial information on this project.
Now. Yep, there's always rough estimates. Once we get, all right, we have an idea on a price range on here and what we're looking for, we're getting more comfortable with how this property could look and lay out, what's it going to cost, and now it's, all right, how do we finance what we would like to do with that property? That's where the agreement with Doherty came in last night, and for them to actually communicate with us, Greg, our finance director, can do a great job of coming up with, well, here's how much we think it might cost, but having the bond counsel on board give us a much better idea on here's what we're looking for interest rates, here are your bonding options and things like that. So this agreement gives us permission to talk to Doherty and gives Doherty permission to talk with the city.
So these are all little pieces that are coming together to move this project forward. And I thought something that the mayor said last night was very interesting. He said, again, when it comes to the replatting, survey work, asbestos testing, these are steps that are going to have to be taken regardless of what this development eventually looks like.
Part of this development, too, with the replat and the asbestos is that, all right, we know we're going to make modifications to the Central Market building or Thrifty White. Let's get the asbestos testing done. Right. We know from all the development plans that we've seen, part of that property, we have interest in developers in building a multi-purpose building. Or a multi-use building with maybe some, two or three floors of apartment buildings with the main floor as retail or commercial space. And we'd need to be able to carve that piece out to make that available for sale. So that's the reason for last night's work with Icon. And I think Toman Engineering was the successful proposer on doing that work.
And we talk about your Mandan Messenger communications piece that you produce out of the city. And this month's edition talks about this entertainment district possibilities down there. So people want more information. It's out there.
Right.
And this is not by any means a final design. This is going to go through a number of steps. Plus, you will have some public input meetings, I would assume, along the way.
Right. What you see in the Manhattan Messenger is kind of where we're at today, or with the January of 2018 issue.
Mm-hmm.
That could move around and change. Like I said, we're still toying with some ideas on the interior of the Central Market building and how the exterior could look. And that's kind of where we're at today.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you know, we're getting closer to what we think final design will be. We've met with some of the library folks and make sure they're included, and here's what it looked like. You know, Jackie Hawes at the library director has provided some very good input on mm-hmm. what she would like to see the library look like inside and out. So we're doing this in cooperation with them, and it's worked, like I said, pretty well, and I think we're getting close to having some final pictures and designs to look at.
That'll be exciting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think every time we've gotten together for a City Current, we've talked about this project. So it'd be great to see it taking shape now and moving forward.
Yep. There are steps.
Other pieces.
We're taking steps, like I said, with the agreement with Doherty, with the agreement with Toman last night to kind of survey and take a look at asbestos issues in there. And it's moving along. As always, some folks will say not fast enough.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's
others that will say, "Oh, you're moving this way too fast. We didn't have an opportunity to provide input."
Yep.
But you will have an opportunity.
Yep.
So, another item on the agenda last night that has been on the agenda a number of times is this revision of the appeals process.
Correct.
So this last night, the ordinance has been written. Your city attorney, Malcolm Brown, has put that together, and the first reading was last night.
Yep, ordinance on what we've commonly referred to many times as the repeal of the appeal process. You know, there was a committee with the planning and zoning members, and Commissioner Labor, Commissioner Rohr also sat on this committee to review the ordinances that were drafted. We've had, you know, great input from this committee, along with, you know, Natalie Pierce, Morton County Planner, has provided very good suggestions to us also. And all of that was given to Attorney Brown, who drafted the ordinance. And that was what we had last night, was the first reading of that ordinance. There will be a second reading on February 6th.
That's your next meeting?
Yep.
Next city commission meeting.
After that, you know, that'll be where we stand on the appeal process, which, you know, it expands it. You know, a couple of the major items in there is it calls for a master plan.
Right.
We suggest a master plan should be provided. Now we will require that a mm-hmm. master plan be provided, and also that anyone within what used to be 300 feet adjacent to the piece of property that's being looked at for development gets notified. Now that will be expanded up to 500 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone within 500 feet of that development will get a letter if there's a zone change or something like that happens.
These are all make sense. And then there is also a requirement for a preliminary plat to be submitted during the planning and zoning meeting as well.
Yep.
And the first commission meeting.
Along with that, and like I said, if you're within 500 feet of the requirement to get a letter,
mm-hmm.
There will be a map in there on here's what the master plan or here's what the plat of that area will look like.
And I think it was also decrease the number of days or to 30 days, must be submitted within 30 days rather than 21 days.
Yep.
So all little tweaks to make it a little more transparent.
A little more transparent, a little more friendly for other folks that may have an interest in that development to provide input. And I think that was the major goal of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Commission, to say we want to make sure that folks continue to have that ability to provide their input. You know, sometimes people will not agree, but there's processes in there built that gives them that opportunity to be heard.
Seems a little more reasonable.
Yep.
Yeah. I've just got the signal that we have only like 5 minutes left,
okay.
So we're going to quickly run through a couple things. And this is something we've talked about before, and this is election season. We're coming up to our June 12th primary, and this is the time that City Commission, Park District, I think we have some school board members, county, it would be the county primary. So these things are happening in Manhattan and Morton County, and it is the time to get your petition. And if you're interested in running, to get it out there.
If you're interested in running, you can download the forms. You can go to a link. I'm sure park board, school board, city and county all have links to the North Dakota Secretary of State's office mm-hmm. where you can obtain all the forms you need. Our reminder to folks is that, you know, this will be your early reminder. If you are running, mm-hmm. you get the required signatures and you're good to go. We then send you a letter indicating where you can put your campaign signs, not in the public right away. You know, if you're right. on the sidewalk, put them on the house side of the home side of the sidewalk, get permission. And also for the petitions, if you're circulating them or you're having someone circulate them for you, make sure you complete, you know, name, address, date, zip code, all those good things, right. or else if there are some of those signatures may be thrown out. One, if you're running for city commission and you have someone who lives in the county and they put their you know, address as Sumner Drive, and we know that's in Morton County, not in the city, that yeah. that name would be thrown out. Thus, we try and have folks pick up extra signatures.
And the deadline for submitting your petitions is April 9th, 4 o'clock, mm-hmm. I believe, on April 9th. So while that may seem like quite a long time mm-hmm. away, in no time like the present. So if people are considering running for office, we encourage people to get out there and vote.nd.gov. Right. We'll take you right to the Secretary of State's information. You can go from there to information for candidates. There's plenty of guidelines here. You can call your county auditor because they run the elections. They know a lot there. A city yep. of Mandan will help you. So there's plenty of information out there. The other thing I really wanted to touch on, and now that we've jumped out of election information, is just access again to government meetings. And that's what we do here. I mean, we take it pretty seriously, and that's what we provide is coverage of government meetings, and while it's not always exciting, some of us think they're pretty exciting.
We resemble that remark yes. in some ways
and,
or the other.
We've got our website up here, and you can get to our website at freetv.org or dakotamediaaccess.org, either place. Once you go to the home page, you can go to the government access link, and from there you'll find all the different groups, all the political subdivisions that we cover their meetings, whether it's the park district, the school boards, planning and zoning, and the city commissions, of course, and the county commissions are there. All of this information is there, and you can watch these meetings. The other feature that I want to mention that we've just implemented within the last few months is chaptering these recorded meetings. And what that means is that if you're going to go in and watch a recorded meeting, and we've archived it online, you can jump in here and not only watch the entire meeting, but we've added the agenda items for you.
Find that you don't want to watch the whole meeting. Right. This is organized very similar to our agenda packet that we put out on our websites, you know, the Friday before the meeting, mm-hmm. that you can open up the agenda, you can click on, you know, that agenda item, and it'll automatically take you to the documentation related to that item. Consent agenda number 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look on your website, you watch consent agenda item 14 or new business number 2, and you may not be interested in new business number 1.
It's just a more efficient way to get to the item that you're looking for, and we're just really kind of thrilled that we could do this. It was a technology allowed us to do this more simply because it's something we've been wanting to do for a long time. I need to mention, too, that this is just available on Mandan and Bismarck City Commission meetings okay. at this point in time. So, and that's our plan.
We're thankful right now for that, too, because yeah. I can tell you that city staff does use mm-hmm. This feature. And then, like I said, if we're looking for a specific item, it'll certainly help us when we say, okay, go click on Chapter 13, which gets us right to Justin's presentation on the urban road programs.
And there you are on the screen.
Yeah, we can
yep.
get that one
You're
off.
There.
Save our viewers.
And we will. And we have to wrap up. But again, lots of information. Thank you, Jim, for being here today.
Thanks for having us. You know, enjoy the next couple days of warm weather and get prepared for the next round of cold.
Sounds good. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of Mandan City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com. Or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you'd like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on KDAC 102.5 FM radio. It's also available as a podcast on kdacfm.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.